This Roto Report is brought to you by Joe Laser with Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Whether you need auto, home, health, life, or commercial insurance, or if you're looking for advice as you plan for your retirement, call Laser Insurance and Financial Services at 330-722-4444. And joining me right now on the Roto Report, our good buddy Steve Hellwagon from BuckNuts.com, fresh off the two-day experience at Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. Steve, how was the turnout this year? Was there more of a buzz? Was there more excitement? Or was this just another normal Big Ten media couple of days?
I would say this is the 20th year in a row that I've been to it. I would say that there wasn't a lot of buzz to it. Obviously, you know, the new situation in the Big Ten with Maryland and Rutgers coming in makes it an even bigger, better Big Ten, I guess, in some regards. Jim Delaney, the commissioner, who's one of the big power brokers in all of college sports, got up there and quoted some statistics that there are now 5 million living alumni of Big Ten institutions nationally, which that's a very impressive number. And they combined for $10 billion in research funding from the federal government, which is more than the Ivy League and the California university system combined. So the footprint of this Big Ten just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and they're now into Maryland and obviously New Jersey with Rutgers. And I'd say that's probably it. A lot of buzz about Ohio State playing Michigan State in November in a night game at East Lansing. Very rare for the Big Ten to have an outdoor night game. Seems like we're going to see more and more of those. And that's fine with Urban Meyer. He likes having his team featured in those primetime games. They'll be in five of their 12 regular season games this year will be at 6 p.m. or later. So a lot of people already pointing to that as the de facto championship game, even if the winner will probably be the one that goes on and represents the East in the real championship game the first weekend in December in Indianapolis. So a lot of buzz, I think, for that. And really, you think about that Eastern Division, Ken, with Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, four of the great brand names in college football right now and all time. And I think that's what's got, I think, a lot of people excited, is that those teams are always going to play. And those will all be rivalry type games within that division.
All right, two things that you mentioned there I want to touch on. The Rutgers-Maryland aspect. Great numbers from a dollar standpoint, right, as well as, you know, exposure. But is it good for the Big Ten as far as the football brand itself in making the Big Ten more competitive like the SEC?
I think you make a great point there. The way that the people from the Big Ten Network and the Big Ten office put it, they have got most of the cable companies and dish companies cleared to pay increased rates for the Big Ten Network, whatever it is. Since they were outside the footprint last year, they didn't have to pay a big rate if they wanted it on their cable system. Obviously, the Big Ten now, with those being Big Ten states, is going to ask for more money. And they've gotten it from most of the cable carriers. So that is the first thing. They've got that taken care of, it sounds like, which was always a big fight before when they launched it and when they moved into Nebraska. There was always some back and forth. And, you know, I think that that's a good thing that they've got that resolved. In terms of on the football field, I think the Big Ten definitely needs to be careful in protecting its brand. And again, Rutgers has been to a bowl game maybe the last 9 years. They were 6-7 last year, not a very good year. Maryland under Randy Edsall, you know, just kind of sitting there, you know, not a great program, but again, probably not a championship caliber program either. And again, the big thing for the Big Ten is they've got to go out and win those marquee non-conference games like Michigan State, Oregon, Ohio State, Virginia Tech, Michigan and Notre Dame, and there's a good list of them. Yeah, Wisconsin plays LSU the first week of the season down in Houston. They need the Big Ten to win more than their share of those. Last year, I think they only won about two of those games out of about 10 or 12 tries, and that's what's going to be what carries the Big Ten brand going forward.
I'm going to go on record right now, Steve, and say that I don't think Maryland or Rutgers will ever win the Big East and play for a Big Ten championship. That's just my opinion on it. I think it hurts the Big Ten adding these schools to it from a standpoint of competition and making the conference better. So we'll see. I normally never say never, okay, but I just don't see that those teams coming around and competing, especially both being in the East with Ohio State, with Michigan State, with Penn State, and with Michigan. And that brings me to my next question for you. Does it look like one division is stacked versus the other, and is that fair to the teams that are in the East versus the teams that are in the West?
You bring up a very good point with this, and I think one thing that needs to be watched going forward are the crossover games. Michigan State will play Nebraska at home, and that is probably about the only real marquee crossover game in this Big Ten this year, and that could work to Nebraska's detriment because the other teams in the West do not play anybody of note when they cross over for a couple games against the teams in the East. The Eastern Division, to me, is the tougher of the two, and I believe it will be known in years to come as one of the toughest divisions in college football, along with right now the SEC West. It used to be the SEC East when Florida and Tennessee were on top of their game, but not so much anymore. Now it's the West with Alabama and Auburn and LSU. I think the Big Ten East is going to be mentioned in that same regard going forward. Penn State's not eligible to win anything this year, but they could certainly spoil it if they knock off a Michigan or a Michigan State or an Ohio State. So they are very competitive. I think those four programs going forward are going to be great to watch. Over on that other and one other thought about that, Maryland, Indiana, and Rutgers, if you figure in most years, a lot of years, they're going to go 0-4 against those top teams in the division. That means they have to go 6-2 against the rest of their schedule just to qualify for a low-tier bowl game. You know, they've signed up. They're going to get paid a lot of money, but I don't see a lot of bowl appearances really for any of those schools going forward either. And then over on the West, I think it's pretty wide open. I think you discount Illinois and Purdue. They're not going to win it. I think of the other five, I'd be shocked to see Minnesota or Northwestern win it, but they can certainly factor in the outcome of that division. Nebraska with a new quarterback, Iowa has their quarterback back. Wisconsin can run it, but can they throw it? Those are kind of the things I look at there. The media picked Wisconsin to win it. Probably so. Again, I don't have in front of me where the home games and the away games shake out, but Nebraska having to play at Michigan State, that really hurts their cause a little bit.
Was Ohio State picked in the East, or was it Michigan State, Steve?
Ohio State was the pick, yeah. Ohio State
even
was
with
the
game at Michigan State. Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought that with Connor coming back at quarterback, the experienced QB back, and that being a night game on the road, and with Michigan State having a bye week before they played that Ohio State game, I thought that would carry more weight. I guess it didn't, huh?
Well, you know, as people have put out their preseason polls, Ohio State is ranked 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, in a lot of the different magazines and the different polls that we've seen so far. And Michigan State is down around 9, 10, 11 in most of those polls as well. So I think the thing that people are holding back on Michigan State is the defense. I mean, they lose Bulla, they lose DeNico Salen, they lose Darquez Denard. Will it still be a no-fly zone this year? I don't know. But
right.
They got to replace so many key guys where Ohio State, across the board, other than the offensive line, looks pretty solid. So I think that's what's holding people back on Michigan State. And plus, they're going to open week two at Oregon, you know, go out there and play that game. And that game could really set the tone for their season one way or the other. If they're able to go out there and play great defense and win that game, well, they're going to move right into the top five. But I think most people think Ohio State's got the superior roster going into the season.
Talking with Steve Hellwagon from Bucknuts.com. If you're a Buckeye fan, you need to check out the website. Everything you want to know, you need to know about Ohio State football all in one place. And Steve was out at the media days in Chicago the last couple of days for the Big Ten. Steve, what were the topics of discussion after listening to Urban Meyer, after talking to Braxton Miller and the other players amongst the media members? What were the topics of discussion as far as concerns for this Ohio State football team?
Well, I think it's obviously the offensive line. They lose four of the five starters. They've got Taylor Decker played right tackle last year. He'll flip over and play the all-important left tackle where he'll be defending Braxton Miller's blind side. And then they've probably got Pat Elflein penciled in at one of the guard positions. I think right guard is where they have him. The center position could be the transfer from Alabama, Chad Lindsey, or Jacoby Boren, who will be a junior this year. There is some sentiment that maybe they would have Lindsey play this season and redshirt Boren. That way he could start the next 2 years. Although Billy Price is another name in that battle as well. So they've got some options on the offensive line. They want some of those guys that they recruited probably in 2011 to come through, like Chase Ferris, Tommy Brown, some of those guys. They need them to step it up. Another one was Underwood from up there as well. Antonio Underwood, I think he's kind of positioned himself as well. So that's the Achilles heel for this team right now. I would say that, and also playmakers at the wide receiver. They've got guys, but nobody who's really proven. It'd be interesting to see if some of the young guys, like a Jalen Marshall or James Clark or Johnny Dixon, some of those guys can get in there and make an immediate impact, kind of like what Philly Brown did way back, you know, in 2010. And we'll just have to wait and see, you know, on that. You've got Devin Smith. You've got Dontre Wilson. They need a couple more guys to step it up out there. And the defense was such a mess last year. The spring really got under the hood, took everything apart, took the engine apart, ordered a new block and put it in there. You know, they really reworked it, and I think the dividends were pretty good in the spring. The defensive line is going to be one of the best in football. The linebackers and DBs, you know, those two units have to come on.
I heard Urban Meyer saying he was happy with the progress that the linebackers have made. Does that include Raekwon McMillan? Do you expect to see the freshman making an impact in year number one?
You know, he's going to be given every opportunity to play as much football as he wants. The issue is he's got Curtis Grant in front of him as a senior. Curtis, you know, was one time the blue chip guy like Raekwon McMillan, and his career just hasn't worked out because of injuries and some other issues. Curtis is a good kid. It just is never really, the light bulb just has never really clicked on for him. He plays great in some small spurts. Well, in the spring, I think he felt the heat from Raekwon McMillan. He stepped it up as much as he could. And I'd say as of right now, it's Curtis Grant's job. But I would think Raekwon McMillan will be on every special team. He'll be out there in one regard or another, and they'll mix him in on defense as well. He's that good. In the spring, they had some scrimmages. I recall a couple times he had some stops on the goal line. He just stuck his nose right in there and knocked the ball carrier back. So he's a winner. He's going to be a blue-chip player at Ohio State, and I think you know, how they handle the Grant situation will be interesting to see. I think the other two linebacker spots, Josh Perry, he came on by the end of the year, and also Darren Lee as well. He redshirted last year. That's going to be a critical thing, the play of the linebackers. As Urban Meyer put it, really back to 2010, you know, the linebacker play at Ohio State has not been up to the normal standards, and that was typified in 2012 when they moved the fullback, Zach Bourne, over there to play. You know, they've rebuilt the depth. Now it's time for the guys to make some plays and help them win football games.
What about in the secondary, Steve? Because that was just exploited over the last three games, Michigan, Michigan State, and Clemson in the bowl game. Did those guys gain valuable experience where it's going to pay off this year, bringing in Chris Ash as the co-defensive coordinator, secondary coach? Is he going to make a major impact back there? Give me your feelings after hearing everything there at Media Days, Big Ten Media Days in Chicago.
Yeah, I think Chris Ash will make a tremendous impact as the co-coordinator along with Luke Fickell. He's going to install a new pass defense. Basically, to me, Ken, as I look back at the season and thought about it and really watched a lot of the games, it seemed like there was always a communication breakdown. Those throwback screens or whatever you want to call them, Michigan State exploited that. And Ohio State had no answer for it, and guys were out of position as much as anything. The tackling problems that they'd had maybe in years past weren't quite as bad last year, but the idea of the scheme and the positioning of the players and everything was all out of whack. So Urban Meyer brought in Chris Ash. He was a former coordinator at Wisconsin and was at Arkansas when he hired him. bringing him in to retool the pass defense. And I like what I saw in the spring. You got Duran Grant, one corner. The other one is probably Armani Reeves or Gary Nkame or Eli Apple, three really promising players there. And then safety Von Bell, I think he's going to be the guy that steps in. And also to go with Tyvus Powell, the hero of the Michigan game with that big interception. He was the nickelback last year. He'll move over and become a full-time safety. And probably one of those extra corners will be the nickel this year. So it's going to be much improved defense, I think, for Ohio State. And we'll just have to wait and see when they put it on the field.
The quarterback position, we know who it is. How healthy is he? All reports coming out of Chicago at the Big Ten Media Days were that he's in the best shape of his career. He's 100% healthy. So what should we expect out of Braxton Miller this year?
I think Braxton's going to have a big year. I think we say that with the proviso that at some point he could go down with an injury all the way back to his freshman year as the quarterback at Wayne High School down in Dayton. He has missed some time in just about every season he's ever played due to some injury. He missed all of two games and all but eight plays of a third game. And he seemed very, very wistful thinking about that, about how missing those games, if he'd had the opportunity to throw for all those yards and touchdowns against California and Florida A&M like Kenny Guyton did, Braxton Miller may have been much higher in the Heisman balloting at the end of the year. So I think that's what's kind of driving him is he wants to prove perhaps to himself and to everybody he's durable and he can go the distance. And they really need him to go the distance because they don't have Kenny Guyton there anymore. Cardale Jones is a guy that, again, has been in the program 3 or 4 years, and it's his time to put it together. And they definitely want to get him some snaps and JT Barrett as well. But it's Braxton's show. He seems like his shoulder is back to full health, and he says he proclaimed himself ready to go. So I take him at his word on that.
All right, final things, Steve Alwagon. One, is Braxton Miller a legit Heisman Trophy candidate this year? And if so, two, does that lead them to be one of the four teams at the end of the season, in your opinion, to be playing in the first ever college football playoff and maybe make a run for a national championship?
Yeah, I think you make that's ultimately what everyone is interested in, those two things. I think regarding the Heisman Trophy, you look at Jameis Winston back at Florida State, and obviously Archie Griffin's the only two-time winner of the Heisman Trophy. You had Tim Tebow. He had a shot to repeat with it. I think Bradford had a chance to repeat with it and didn't do it. And so, and obviously Manziel last year had the chance to repeat with it and didn't do it. It seems like when a guy wins it and he comes back for another season, everybody looks for reasons and ways to pick his season apart and not award him a second Heisman. I think that's going to be hard to do with Jameis Winston this year because they tore through the ACC last year and they're going to do it again, I think. I don't know anybody that's going to stop him. I think he's probably the guy to beat. Braxton is definitely a legitimate Heisman Trophy candidate, as we said, provided that he is there for all 13 games or however it works out. He needs to answer the bell. He needs to play well, and I think he will. I think a lot of it will be dependent on his offensive line, how they come together. But he has got the chance to have a monster year. Hopefully Ezekiel Elliott will step up at running back to replace Carlos Hyde and take some of that onus off Braxton to have to be the runner as well. And that should really help his chance to stay upright for the entire season.
And as far as the playoffs, Steve, do you expect the Buckeyes to be one of the four teams playing for the national championship?
Definitely. I think what I foresee in this new format is you've got the five major conferences, the Big Ten, the Big 12, ACC, SEC, and the Pac-12. And if a team can go undefeated and win one of those leagues, I think they're automatically going to be in the playoff. There's never going to be any debate about that. And then you come down to champions with one loss. And Ohio State's problem is if the one loss is at Michigan State, they may not even get to go play for the Big Ten championship. It's kind of a one-game season. I hate to say that, but I just don't know anybody else on that schedule that should be capable of beating them. If they beat Michigan State and then beat Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, whoever in the Big Ten championship game, they'll be in the playoffs. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So even at 12-1, perhaps, if that shakes out that way, I think Ohio State would be in the playoff. And I you know, again, everyone today looks at Florida State from the ACC, Alabama and Auburn from the SEC, Oklahoma from the Big 12, Ohio State and Michigan State from the Big 10, and then the Pac-12 is Oregon. Probably not sure if anybody else is up there. They've got several teams that people have in the top 20 right now with Stanford, USC, UCLA, Arizona State's a possibility as well. But Oregon, again, are they going to rule the roost out there? And really, it becomes a popularity contest. If you've got five equally matched major conference champions, one of them is going to get left at the curb, and you don't want to be that one, that's for sure.
Should be a lot of fun, exciting year ahead of us with the Ohio State Buckeyes, Urban Meyer and company looking to bounce back after two consecutive losses to end the season last year, but high hopes this year for the Buckeyes, and hopefully the Big Ten puts forth a good effort this year and gains back some of the respect that they've lost over the years. And to follow all of it, I urge all of you out there to follow my man, Steve Hellwagon at bucknuts.com. And Steve, where can they follow you on Twitter?
It's real simple, at Steve Hellwagon. And it's spelled with an E-N, not an O-N, not like a wagon that you that you pull. It's, for whatever reason, good German name, E-N. So there you go.
All right, Steve, we appreciate the insight. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, Ken. Sounds good.
Hope you enjoyed the Roto Report with Steve Hellwagon from bucknuts.com. It was brought to you by Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Call Joe Laser for all your insurance and financial needs at 330-722-4444, or you can check them out online at laserinsurance.com. And as always, see you down at Buckeye fans. Keep it real.